Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's right, baby. The drive is live.
Let's start this thing off
right. Let's start it off nasty. It's never too early. 1:59, it is not too early to be nasty at it, Tyler.
No, never. I'm never in trouble getting it in.
B. Scott went there, not Tyler.
Oh, hell,
Skeezy got some nasty.
He's got a whole.
Skeezy got that 2 p.m. What you got going on at 2 p.m.? Who got an alarm set at 2 p.m.? That's kind of like a 10 a.m. alarm. What you doing at 2 p.m.?
Mr. Nasty over there.
What you got going on at 2 p.m.?
He's ready to swarm like his shirt say.
My alarm today was 10 a.m.
Hey, that was one of them. 2 p.m. I got to make this phone call. I can't forget this one.
All right, here we go. The drive is live. Clint's in the building. Tyler's in the building. A lot to get to. Yes, Nick Caserio spoke today. We'll hear a little bit of what he had to say. But, fellas, all I could imagine as I was out yesterday, and I ended up watching it up on YouTube, seeing it played back. I'm sure Brandon is the one who cut that up. But I watched you and Sean sit there as that game came to an end.
Mm.
And all I could sit here and imagine, Tyler standing back there, Clint right here, Mr. Positive Sean Bajani, who I'm sure thought they were going to win every step of the way until Jeremy Pena threw that helmet off his head after he got doubled up.
Oh,
by the
wow.
way, the worst luck for the Astros is the only place he could have hit it to get doubled up with his speed. I could only imagine the anger that was felt in these two rooms from YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's disgust. It's turned to disgust for me.
I'm proud that Tyler came back with an Astros shirt today. I am proud of you because I'm with Clint went girl dad to hell with this thing.
Yeah.
I'm not even doing it today. No,
I'm in Caitlin Clark's world, man.
Right, you had to. It's just a pure disgust. I can see it all.
That's what it's turned into for me is disgust.
When Clint started going with, it's unacceptable. I heard him say that, and he hit those two P's hard on that unacceptable. I said, oh, he's in here hot.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was really hot, and then Bajani wants to give me the, oh, it's a long season.
No,
he didn't say those words, but he definitely was, he made it clear that's his stance on the Astros right now.
I have to be fair. I'll have to go back. I didn't hear him say that.
No, he did not. He did not use those words. But he definitely implied it. After I said, I don't want to hear nothing from these, it's a long season, folks. He definitely implied it. There ain't no doubt about it. Which I knew. I mean, I know Patrick Creighton and Bajani. I'm pretty sure they're both long season guys. I get it. I mean, it's fine.
I think they got to be reeling. Clint, they're 6-14.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're 6.
You have to listen to Area 45 tonight to see. But
I believe Bajani said that where the Astros are is equivalent to two games in a Texan season.
Well, that was Michael Schwab on Twitter actually he saw that tweet.
But Bajani co-signed.
Yeah, well, very, very fair. I follow Michael Schwab. I think he's a good follow in terms of the Astros. I just completely disagree with the notion and the thought and the comparison.
Yep, weak ass mentality.
I'm gonna tell you something.
What did the Texans start last year? 0-2.
Oh, I don't know. Did Baltimore got him, and then who got him next?
The Colts
got him.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
It doesn't feel the same.
Why do we even play baseball in March and April?
That was an 0-2 with zero expectations.
Not a stitch of it.
Right now, I know there's some folks out there that want to say that they knew C.J. Stroud was going to do what he did. They knew Will was going to do. Well, they knew D'Amico was going to turn this thing around.
No,
they knew
Nico.
Who'd I say?
No, I'm telling you, Nico. Nico's the one they knew.
Yeah, no, I mean, but at the end of the day, that's 0-2 with zero expectations, and it was still one of those like, hey, man, y'all better get it together. Wasn't no, hey, it's a long season. That's for damn sure. Yeah, look, I don't know if you heard that yesterday, Ron, but I hate that. The thought that the Astros' 6-14 start to the Major League Baseball season is like the Texans starting 0-2 in an NFL season. I just couldn't agree. I just can't agree any less. I can't. I mean, look, here's the deal. Now, unless you believe the 6-14 is a time to go, all right, man, we gotta have some come to Jesus meetings. We gotta get some. Unless you believe what you've watched with the Astros is.
By the way, Bregman said they don't.
What?
Bregman said, I think everybody knows that we gotta play better.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. And he also said,
kind of poo pooed that.
Good teams find a way to win, and we ain't doing it. Is what he said. So, is another thing he said, Ron. But my thought is this: if this football team this year starts out 0-2, there ain't gonna be a, now somebody may present it to the media that, hey man, we got 15 games left. You know, all of our dreams are still in front of us, and goals are still in front of us. Yada yada yada. But I guarantee you, on that practice field, and in that locker room, and in those staff meetings, in those player meetings, and those prep meetings, there's a sense of urgency, and there ain't no sense of relax, everything's going to be fine inside that building. Absolutely no chance that that's the case. So, I can't get down with what I've watched from the Astros being compared to an 0-2 NFL season start, unless you believe that the Astros are in a spot where they better get it together.
I just want people to stop comparing them to anybody. Why don't you just look at what the hell you're looking at every day? Don't compare them to the 2000 whatever team that started off 15-30. Don't compare them to anything. No. Look at what you're watching.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at what you're watching. And I'll be honest, like, any of you, honest to God, from what you've watched, any of you that you believe that they still have a chance, that this thing getting over, and I'm cool with it. Any of you that believe that, you're believing the same things that Joe Espada is about Jose Abreu. If any of you out there, those of you who believe, because I'm sure of it, if we did this right now, how many of you believe that the Astros can turn this around? And I think fairly many of you will believe and say yes. But you're doing the same thing that the Astros and Jeff Bagwell and the manager Joe Espada is doing. This was Joe Espada talking about why he still believes that Abreu may turn it around.
Are there things you're seeing, maybe not in game or in game, with Abreu that gives you confidence that he can pull out of this offensively?
History, you know, the back of his baseball card. You know, he can do it.
History. It's the only reason. It's the only reason. Now, many of you are probably tired of Hurst. Sean Pendergast lost his mind about this. Many of you are tired of this because basically Bagwell has hit his back of the baseball card with Jose Abreu, who I would like to again say Tuesday I threw the towel in on him. And you heard the manager, history. It's the only reason, Clinton Tyler, anybody that is an Astros fan will have belief that the Astros will get out of it. Don't give me any injuries. They ain't got enough damn they ain't got that many damn injuries to be rolling out here 6-14. Clint and Tyler, I know for about the last decade this has been the golden age of the Astros, and maybe you all have forgotten what a bad baseball team looks like day in and day out. But luckily for you, old Cousin Ron is here, and Cousin Ron has lived his whole life watching a bad baseball team. I am almost 40 years old, and I can only think about 5 to 6 seasons that the baseball team that I root for was any good. And I've seen bad baseball. And the Astros do a lot of bad baseball team stuff. When you start thinking about bad baseball teams, they generally find ways to lose games. The Astros are finding ways to lose games. When you look at a bad baseball team, one thing you can point to is their bullpen probably stinks. The Astros' bullpen has been horrific. One thing you look at when you see a bad baseball team, they kick the ball around. They don't make the plays that they should make. How many errors do you find that the Astros have in games? They're doing it. Another thing you see, just can't get hits with runners in scoring position. Oh, yeah, maybe that comes and goes. Well, for bad baseball teams, that never acts up. That never comes together. Listen, I know some don't want to say it. The only reason why you have belief is the same reason why they have belief in Abreu, is history. It's the only reason. It is. And I understand why you have it. And you should, like, I have it completely. I'm hanging on by a thread. I got a fingernail. But the only reason is the history. And the belief that you have this team. Because, Clint, what they do, what did T.O. say? Not Jeff Garcia, but what T.O. say? Walks like a duck. Quacks like a duck. Smells like a duck. Damn it, it's a duck. They do a lot of bad baseball team stuff. And the only reason why we just won't go out the limb and say they a bad baseball team is because of the history. And there's a belief they'll spin it around. But Clint, man, they do. Like, you go out there and you watch them game in and game out. They do everything that bad baseball teams do.
That's right. That's right. And I, look, they've been good enough in the past to overcome some of those things because they've always had some, like Tyler talks about with Altuve. And, you know, there's always been some, a couple little bonehead things here or there that you just have the ability to overcome when it matters the most. And it's just ain't happening, man. I mean, you laid it out perfectly, and that's exactly my concern. There is multiple things that says bad baseball team that have to be corrected if you're going to be a good enough team to make a run at another World Series, which is the expectations. Like I said, Bregman said it himself. Good baseball teams find a way to win games, and they're not finding ways to win games. They're finding ways to lose them.
I can't believe they lost the game yesterday. I thought
disgusting.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I thought that was in. And like, I know we'll look at Abreu's era, and you should again. You can't go up there and hit .7 or six, whatever he's hitting, and then make errors in the field.
I'm sure they bothered.
You're playing the easiest position on the diamond to play.
That's literally what I said yesterday. As soon as it happened, you can't do that right now. You just can't.
That boy, he's got to be Brooks Robinson over there, and I know Brooks didn't play first base, but he has got to be amazing. I mean, he has got to be a defender that you don't have to worry about anything. Mm-mm. But I will say before that, they sure was teeing off on Ryan Pressly anyway. Mm. Many of you who wanted Ryan Pressly to be moved, the person who texted in the other day, it's not that hard. Just move Pressly back to the closer spot.
Yeah, that ain't happening. You can move Abreu up and down that lineup if you want to, but it's going to be hard to upseat Hader, Roy.
I believe Presley's ERA right now is higher than Hader's.
Oh, it was walking into yesterday.
Yes.
Even when Hader.
And I love Presley.
There ain't none of those three guys. Not a damn one of them should have done anything to warrant moving anywhere. You stay right where your ass is at until you start pitching better. I mean, if anything, you better be careful. You better be careful because Montero's throwing that thing pretty nice recently.
Him, the middle guys.
Montero's gonna mess around and be a more reliable guy than a couple of them cats if you ain't careful. Yeah, that's. But hey, it's early
right now.
But hey, it's early, man. We don't want those knee jerk reactions.
When you said that with Shot, there can't be people out here still on the it's early train.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that train is full.
I guarantee you.
713-572-4, whatever this damn number is. 713-572-4610. I want to hear you.
75% of the baseball heads out there right now are going, look at these nut jobs. They're all worried about 20 games in. Guarantee you. Absolutely. I've talked to too many of them.
If Tony says it, I'm going to freak out.
I've talked to too many Astros fans, cats that played a little bit of baseball when they were in high school or maybe a tad bit in college that – We'll get all, I mean, just, boy, they just know that baseball now, and it's way too early to get worked up now.
Text line coming in. It's not just the history that makes me believe. It's the injuries. Listen, they have some injuries.
It's all of it.
They have some injuries. But, guys, man, they've had injuries before. Like, I'm sorry, man. And listen, I will say this because there is one thing that keeps me holding on for. Because this one thing happens, Clint, I'm out. I'm out on hanging on with the belief, the real belief that they can make a run. But, like, what we're seeing of the bad baseball, everything we're talking about, That's just not going to be cured.
Correct.
By Verlander and Framber.
That is exact. That is.
And that's
that
really
is
the
it.
Basis of,
if you
of
can't,
the injury.
Ron, if you can't look at what's going on with the Astros and you can't look at it and say, okay, even if the five starting pitchers that are injured, if they all miraculously got healthy tomorrow, and you inserted them into the starting rotation, whatever you want to do, you still got Abreu, Presley, and Hader. Still got a lineup that's not producing with runners in scoring position. You still got a lineup that has scored four runs in the eighth, ninth, and tenth inning all year long so far.
There are too many things that you planned to have roles that are blowing it.
Yep.
Like J.P. French, you planned for him to be in the rotation. Hunter Brown, you planned for him to be in the rotation. Right? You got saved by Blanco. You planned on Hader, Presley, and Abreu. You planned on Abreu at first base. You planned on this bench. You planned on Jake Myers in center. First, second, third, shortstop, catcher, outfield, everything there. DH is what's happening right now is everything is what you planned to have coming into the season. Everything you planned. You planned that. There are two. Like, you can't count Lance as an injury. Like, you can't be saying, like, I think Urquidy would help, but you can't be saying, we get him back, that cures it.
I mean, the thing is, though, Ron, would they help?
It's not that many injuries.
I mean, you got a quality start from Hunter Brown this week, lost 6-2. Yes. Right? You got five innings, two earned run baseball. Out of J.P. France yesterday, you lost 5-4 in extras. Does it? Oh, that's baseball, guys. That's baseball. It's early, man. It's baseball. Nah, man. I mean, that ain't baseball to me. It's bad baseball is what it is.
I will say this, Clint. I'm at the end of the rope here. I don't know where you are. I don't know where Tyler is. I don't know where everyone else is. I got one last thing before I step right off the Titanic. But I ain't gonna go down with the ship. All right, I will step up. My one last thing is the guy who's coming back tomorrow. That's my one last thing, Clint Tyler. If this stuff continues to roll, let's say a couple weeks after Verlander gets here, because Verlander to me is not just a starter. Like, I'm not saying he just heals. Like, it's just him being out there. He only plays every fifth day. But he is their guy.
Justin Verlander.
And if there is anybody that is, I think they lack leadership. Is there anybody, if there's anybody that can come and bring that, there is a comfort level of, this is the dude that has been at the front of this organization. This is a guy that can get traded. I mean, that can leave in free agency, get traded back to the team, 2 months before, and he's the guy that you say, hey, make the speech at the end as we head to the ALCS. If this continues, this 6-14 stuff type play continues with Verlander there, their guy, the dude that you feel like people really look up and feel comfortable, and I'm like, I'm out. That's the last straw for me.
Yeah.
Is if they keep playing.
I mean,
like,
here's the deal. Verlander's, we talked about this yesterday, Ron. Like, Verlander on the bump, everybody understands. But Verlander's the kind of player, I would, and I don't know Verlander personally. Obviously, I've not been in the clubhouse, but I would imagine it's Troy Aikman-esque type of impact on a team. Like, when Troy walked in the locker room, like, all the BS got real quiet. You know what I mean? Like, the level of professionalism, the level of experience, obviously the accomplishments, it can impact an entire locker room. And I'm talking about in a positive way, obviously. I think there's a chance that Verlander is going to impact this team as much off the field as he is on it. Being on the bench in the clubhouse, traveling with the team, being that close to the team in that intimate of a setting. I would think that the entire roster, the lineup, everybody, the entire rotation, the bullpen, I think everybody's going to feel the impact of him being there. Now, how much of an impact can it have? I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's crazy to think that it's not going to impact him to some degree.
I was driving. I heard you say If they lose this game, they will be swept now three times.
Three of six. Three of six series.
You know how many times they got swept all of last season?
Four.
Oh. 75% of sweeps already.
Yeah.
But it's early.
Hey,
let
me tell you, never mind, if we're up against it. I'll give you another stat that I saw. One of the relax, it's early guys that'll really drive you up a wall if you're an Astros fan.
Oh, God.
Can't wait.
We apparently have one, too. We got an it's early guy on the phone who wants to. I honest to God, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. People are saying things to try to really piss off Tyler on the text line. I hope he doesn't look at it. Actually, I hope he does. Because I like fired up Tyler. But we'll hear from this. There are folks. I want to hear Clint's story, and there are folks over here on the lines that we're wrong. It's still early. It's still early. April 18th, as you are behind the A's in the standings. Hey, but they're only 4.5 out. Wow. All right. All of that is coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, I got to hear this. All right, Clint, you said that there is some real action on people who are it's early.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean the it's early stuff is I just don't want to hear it. I'm just beyond it. I'm not. I don't know how you can watch the Astros, and your response is it's early. Don't worry about it. Everything's gonna be all right.
Like this. Calm down, Ron. They do this at stretches throughout every season. I agree, Abreu, you must go. Let those plans you talk of play out. It's really bad, but I don't really believe this is what it will be all season. Verlander will be good, but not a savior. Take two aspirin. Let's talk in a couple months.
Well, look, I'll be honest with you. I said this yesterday, Ron. I don't think it's possible to be for this crew to be this bad all season long. I believe that this team will fight and claw its way back to at the end of the season having a shot to get in.
You think so?
Yeah, Yeah. No, I think that. I think so. I mean, yeah, I think that's. I mean, it would be an epic failure of a season if this organization as is and miss me with the injuries. It would be a major failure if this team doesn't get in.
Are they?
It would be a mess. But yeah, like I just don't know how. I understand the concept of, hey man, you know, Bregman's a slow starter, Abreu's a slow starter, man. Let this thing play out, man. It's a long season. I can listen to the long season stuff a good chunk of time. I'm still never that person. Like I don't know how people, but I can understand it and listen to it. What I'm watching right now with the Astros, nah, I can't. I don't know how you watch it and go, hey man, hey. Your immediate response is, man, it's a long season. We'll be all right. That's the part that it's not just
the only reason you're saying it's what
I'm watching.
Yes, it's what you're watching.
It is very, very difficult for me to have a serious conversation with anybody that at any point in the conversation says it's early.
They look like teams that I've watched a lot in my life.
Well, it's been a while.
I'm not saying they're gonna lose 100 games. Hey,
it's been a while since we've seen one here, Chief.
Tyler, you think they're at 500 by June 1st?
I mean,
it's April.
You know 18th. What? Yes, I'm pissed off right now because of this discussion we're having about these people that have it in their mind that it's a long season, it's early. But I'm going to be positive here and say yes, I truly do think that.
Oh, can I? What else I saw? I think it was on social media from obviously an Astros fan.
Tell me.
The Astros have played zero teams that are sub 500. They've had a brutal start to the season schedule-wise. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And this ain't even got anything to do with how the Astros have played.
What's the Nationals record? I think they made me one of the teams that have less wins than the Astros. They got about four.
They are 8-10.
Damn, never mind.
Yeah.
Will this count? I hope you're all right.
That's just where, like, I never thought I would see, like, anybody that's talking about the fact that the Astros have not played a team that's sub 500. So everybody needs to relax. Like, you're the Astros. Like, now we're defining slow starts by the fact that you haven't played any sub 500 teams. Yeah, you haven't got a chance to beat up on the A's. You hadn't had a chance to beat up on the Angels of old. Like, that's where we're at with the Astros. Is some folks want to look at this as, hey man, it's been a brutal start. We haven't played a sub 500 team yet. So what? You've been the best team in baseball for several years.
Seven times.
Yeah, man. We'll see. All right, let's hear Al on the south side. Al, you think we're overreacting here?
What's up, Ron? What's up, Clint? Straight up love for Tyler Mill, the best. No. Ron, I'm going to say this here. I've been, you know, fighting this thing since the Astrodome, Clint, since the Orange Seats and Nolan Ryan. I've been playing this. I played this game in high school and, you know, coming up watching a lot of baseball with Nolan Ryan. Let me say this and I'm going to be quick. Ron, y'all spot on. And this is the thing what I'm looking at as a true Astros fan. It's cool. I have accepted the fact already if we don't get there to the World Series. I'm cool with that because what they've accomplished 7 years, ALS, and all that in the third, maybe this is the year that they realize that they need to, you know, reconstruct this team. Clint, you already know it's some holes with some players in here because of the name on the jersey. You may need to part with. You know, you got Bregman on the cuts. He's a lot older. He starts a little slow. You got to realize in the American League, teams are getting better. Ain't nobody waiting on you to start. So it's a lot going into it. With this manager, I don't think he know really what he's doing. But, you know, I said last year, you talking about this year, Ron, they didn't get there last year. Without exception of a good couple of good teams played some bad baseball, that's how they won the division. It wasn't like they took it away. We was on the edge then. So, you know, getting Verlander, and he was hurt. So even that, he can't say today his arm is shot. I just think it's time to redo this team. And, you know, I ain't been out of shape. If they hit a wall, maybe it's time. I bet you'll start redoing them jerseys and them numbers on them and get some more players after that. And, you know, I mean, that's where I'm at with it, man. I'm cool if they hit the wall because the team that they got now is not the same team won the World Series.
I appreciate the call, Al. I just can't accept that, not from everything I heard. Everything I heard last year was, this is a World Series team. This is a World Series team. That's what I heard last year. And I look at this team. On paper, you look at it. They seem to have as much, if not more, than you had last year. There were injuries last year. There were a lot more injuries than this last year. And we didn't, and I'm not saying it's you, Al, but we didn't give the Astros the excuse of, oh, Altuve's hurt at the start of the year, or Verlander got traded, or this is the fourth straight year where they lost an important piece to start the season, or Michael Brantley's not going to play till August, or like we're going to lose back-to-back starters in two consecutive starts, one for the year, one for 3 months. Like, that wasn't an excuse. It was, this is a championship-level team. You've added Josh Hader. Your catcher position, especially offensively, has gone to an entire different level from the text line. Hey, you guys, I think you all are dismissive of the importance of Maldonado to the pitching staff in the clubhouse. You're not talking to us. Not this show.
That Odyssey app must have got you.
Not this show.
A rewind feature must have got you.
This show got set here and stood in the face of it, got clobbered for our feel that Maldonado wasn't just out there just to be out there to piss off fans. No, we this show felt there was an importance to him. Now, I'm not saying he should be here starting right now, but no, that's inaccurate. Not on this show. Not this one. But I can't accept that. No, they should be, as you said, if they're not fighting and competing to get in at the end, it should be dealt with as a major, major, major failure.
Yep.
There shouldn't be any excuses for it. Wanted to get in some Texans. Guess not.
We'll do that next.
No, we'll not. Okay. We'll talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. We'll see where Tone is. I want to see where Tone is. His last week, he said it was still too early. He said, now, if this keeps coming, we're gonna see what his thoughts are. And I'm a point blank ask him. Should they just quit on Jose Abreu altogether? Should they just absolutely quit on Jose Abreu? That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. As it is Thursday, so that means we get a chance to sit down and talk with our guy, Tony Gwynn Jr. He is our Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Tony, Pets heads are falling off, is where we are. 6-14. They get swept by the Braves. Now it looks like they're finding ways to lose games. They've been swept now 3 times. Clint and I are done with the It's Early crowd, and they are continuing to come out to us like you did to us last week. Now they're telling us we don't know baseball. I know you know this team and you've watched this team. Does something feel different to you that maybe pushes you off of the thought of this is serious than just an early part of the season?
Yeah, Dusty Baker not being there, first of all.
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time? I didn't hear you say that, Tony. I think some people...
Yeah, no, I let me go ahead and repeat myself for those in the back that invited him. Dusty Baker not being there. You know, there was a lot of complaining going on last year. I recall calling in quite a few times about Dusty and his management of how things were going, and I'm just saying, you lose a Hall of Fame manager, it might have a little bit of impact. That being said, I think you guys know baseball. I don't think it needs to be taken that far.
Appreciate that, T. Appreciate that.
That means a lot.
I think there is some reason for concern, though. The one thing that has always at least remained at the very least good, if not above that, is the Astros pitching. And right now they're having a number of different issues, not only in the rotation, but the back end of their bullpen hasn't been great, I should say. The middle relief hasn't been good at all. And, you know, as you are trying to kind of get your feet under you, you kind of need either the hitting to be on point or the pitching to be on point. Right now, I would say neither has been great
And so, yeah, I think there is cause for concern a little bit.
Tony, I heard Blum and TK, man, I'm watching the game a couple nights ago, and I hear TK, I'm laid up in the bed, got the volume way down because I don't want to wake the baby mama next to me. You know, she's with that little one, man. I don't want to disturb her.
Yeah. It's also his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's that too. Hell, I wouldn't be laid in bed with her with my wife. I wouldn't be laid in bed. Okay, right. I wouldn't stay there. Right. I'd have my own. But nonetheless, well, that's a different episode.
Let's not get in trouble.
I hear this stat. TK throws out there. I'm like, wait a minute. Let me turn this up a little bit and risk getting my tail in trouble and hear what he just said. He said, and I've done the math since then, right now the Astros have been outscored in the eighth and ninth inning. It's 29-4. Mm. And to me, that was when I said, okay, that means the bullpen that was supposed to be one of the best in baseball has been trash. And I know you got to keep put it nicely, T. I don't. They have been trash. And then that lineup that is supposed to be just one of the tops in baseball, maybe not the best, but one of the tops in baseball, has been absolute trash when it matters the most with runners in scoring position late in games. To me, that was one that as an Astros fan, Tony, when I heard it, just my skin crawled, man. It made me sick.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely, as I said, cause for concern. I mean, the Astros first haven't played in a lot of, like, really close games, you know, for the most part during the regular season. I mean, they have their fair share like everybody else. But a lot of times they're getting the lead early and they're not having to score late in games as often. When your offense is struggling as a whole, when you get leads, you got to be able to hold them. And, you know, Presley's not throwing the ball well. I know Josh threw the ball well in yesterday's game, struck out the side. But overall, he hasn't, you know, really gotten going. And that's a problem only because the there's a couple teams in that division that are pretty good. And so you don't want to fall in too deep of a hole. And when you have the one thing about it, now, obviously, the players play. The manager tries to put players in the best position to have success. But when you have a new manager, you know, from a player standpoint, you know, that's when some of the questioning starts to come in when you get off to these slow starts. And I'm not saying that it's happening, but those are the type of things that I think slow down the process even more in trying to get the team where they need to go. I think ultimately naturally when you get a new manager in there, you know, guys are kind of looking to see how he reacts and what he does to try to fix things or get things going in the right direction. I think there's still plenty of time for that, obviously, but these are all part of kind of thrown into that gumbo pot of things that aren't going well for the Astros right now and reasons why guys, you know, may not be moving in the right direction yet.
You mentioned gumbo.
A piece of cornbread.
Yeah, you a dark roux guy or light roux?
I'm a dark root guy.
Gotta be, man. Gotta be. Just checking, man. I mean, I'm pretty fond of you, man. But our relationship cannot take the next step. Really, if you like that, you like your etouffees and gumbos in that light roux. I can't do that now.
No, I need the dark root, dog.
You're listening to dark root, of us on here. Tony Quinn Jr., our MLB insider. Just listening to you with that answer, and then you the first thing you said to start off the entire conversation was Dusty Baker and the manager change. You're interesting to kind of hear your perspective on this because obviously you played in the game in a time that is different than it is right now, and now you're covering the game in this time. It really feels like, especially with Dusty going now, that this, I don't even know how much decision making Joe Espada has. It feels like there is so much different. I've said this. It feels like Dana Espada. It feels like Dana Brown has as much decision, and not just with the personnel, but what they're going to do day to day and on the diamond. And everything I keep being told is this is how baseball is right now. Is that a sense of what you're seeing, that Joe Espada may not have as much power or run as much, or his role has changed as it has? What is the new role of a manager in baseball now?
That is a fantastic question, Ron. And it varies when you're going from from city to from organization to organization. I think what I'm starting to find watching these games is that baseball has a weird way of overdoing things, and then it self-corrects slowly. And what I feel like I'm starting to see is the game start to correct itself, not back to where it was, but certainly not the extreme in which it was going. And I don't know the Astros organization up and down like that in terms of who's making the decision, but I know for a fact Dusty would still be the manager in Houston, or would at least still be managing if he didn't feel like, you know, the game, the way the game was being processed was something that he just couldn't get on board with. And, you know, whether that's affecting Joe in this spot now and him, you know, maybe having less say in how things go, it's certainly a possibility. There are certainly organizations where that is the case, where the manager is not 100% getting to manage. I think in all organizations, there's input from a bunch of different places. But ultimately, when you have a manager like Dusty Baker, it's hard to get him to move off of some things that he knows is just the right way to go about it. And I think, you know, eventually he just got tired of pushing back. Now, I don't know if Joe is in that same spot and he's not pushing back or is, but it's certainly a real thing in today's game.
Would your guess be that kind of stuff may be handled differently with Joe and Dusty in terms
for
of?
Sure. Yeah, okay. For sure. Because here's what you – the fight in baseball for a while has been, you know, the really smart guys who maybe didn't play versus – the guys who weren't necessarily number smart, but absolutely play. And the one thing that made Dusty so good is all of those experiences he's had as a player and as a manager, he can take those numbers and pull out what makes sense and how it's going to help him make a decision based on what's going on in the game. That's not going to be the case with everybody. That's why managers like him and Bochy are so valuable, because they can apply those numbers that are being given and also apply it to real time, how it works in a game and how it's going to work. And that's what makes those guys valuable. Now, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to understand those numbers and how they apply for a new manager, how he wants to apply them. And so sometimes that can take some time, but there's no doubt that my guess would be that Dusty, it was a little bit more difficult to ram some of that stuff down Dusty's throat than it is Joe's.
Well, look, it's the same thing in football as well. I mean, and some, you can say some of it in basketball as well. I mean, it's finding a way to apply those numbers instead of just blindly following and believing and calling the game, whether you're play calling and going for it on fourth down or you're shooting threes in the NBA, it's the same analytic, you know, analytically driven game where it is very, very difficult for a guy that played the game to just blindly follow that stuff.
1,000%. You couldn't have said it any better. And, you know, that's the tough part. And I think that's kind of why baseball has taken – I think longer, is because the two sides, the baseball people and the analytic people, you know, they still kind of look at each other with their eyebrows raised. They're not quite working together. I think the organizations that have figured out how to work together and not be offended when one side or the other thinks, you know, their way is wrong, those are the teams that have the most success in applying those numbers. And that can fluctuate. One person leaves the organization, that could change the entire communication between the two sides. And what I'm realizing now in watching today's game, especially in baseball, you really need to have both sides on the same page, one way or the other, in order to have success.
All right, Tony, before we get you out of here, earlier this week I threw in the towel on Jose Abreu. How hard will it actually be for the Astros to do that? This is a guy who makes $20 million this year and next year. But, he is hurting the team offensively and now defensively. How difficult do you sense that will be for a team like the Astros to move off of him?
The funny thing is, is when teams get off of a dude or when they feel like he can't help, it really shouldn't be that big a deal. But the issue is ego, right? Are you willing to look bad for giving said money to said player and now benching him, releasing him? Whatever the consequence is, I find that teams, they don't like to look bad. Mm. And it takes to the very last degree, basically, for them to finally say, you know what, this isn't working. We got to move in a different direction. I think you're right. At this point, it seems like Jose is not being able to muster up what he had in the past. And now, as you said, it's hurting him defensively, too. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, this is a business. I think everybody understands that. But front offices just do not like to look crazy or wrong. And in this case, that's what it's going to take.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if everything around Jose Abreu was better, then you could probably stomach and the being patient. You can probably 100% weather the storm. But right now, it's just, I mean, with every game that Presley or Hader, they blow, then Abreu seems to be a part of it because he didn't scoop one at first. Look, he at the very least at this point, T. I mean, he needs to be reset to factory settings at this point in time. I mean, we need two weeks, Chief.
The problem is you can't hide him. Like in a situation where you have more depth offensively, you can give him a week or two to kind of go back, reset, kind of figure some things out. But right now, you don't have another option. You can't just put anybody in there. And so he's got to keep running out there until he figures it out or until they find somebody who can step in his place while he's trying to get right. And right now, I don't see that in sight.
Tony, we appreciate you, man. Really great work this week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother. You guys take care.
All right. That's interesting. Not as much the money, but the ego of – we don't want to admit how bad we were. I guess I didn't even really factor. I thought it was more money-based. Wow, interesting. All right, that was our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Nick Caserio, he spoke. He gave his thoughts about the offseason, and you don't want to miss what he had to say. That's coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.